Hello and welcome to the Veterinary Secrets Podcast. My name is Dr. Andrew Jones, and this is episode 17. In today's episode, I'm going to talk to you about how to live with a deaf dog. My own dog, Lewis, is now deaf. I'm going to discuss what you can do at home if your dog or cat has a head tilt, otherwise known as vestibular disease. Then lastly, encourage you to sign the Bears Matter petition, in which they're petitioning the BC government to ban the trophy hunting of grizzly bears. Now Veterinary Secrets is on iTunes. Go to iTunes and search for Veterinary Secrets. Or also on Stitcher, you can download the Stitcher app and search for Veterinary Secrets. I would definitely appreciate it if you would subscribe to my podcast and leave a review. You can do so on iTunes or Stitcher. Questions or comments, feel free to post a comment on my blog at veterinarysecrets.com/blog. Or you can send me an email, and that's at podcast@veterinarysecrets.com. Let's get right into today's podcast. Living with a deaf dog. And as I said earlier, my own dog Lewis is now deaf. I've got a much better understanding and appreciation of this, especially while in practice, and I definitely dealt with a number of clients who had deaf pets. So first, let's get right into it. What causes deafness in dogs? Some puppies are born deaf, and this is known as congenital deafness. Other dogs can go deaf from a variety of causes, ranging from chronic ear infections or injuries, to drug toxicity, and then just old age. So Dalmatians seem to be the ones that are most at risk to be born deaf, with up to 30% of puppies being born deaf in one or both ears. Other breeds with higher incidence of deafness include the Bull Terriers, English Setters, Australian Cattle Dogs, the Catahoula Leopard Dog, Whippets, and Jack Russell Terriers. It's most common in dogs with white or nearly white heads. The lack of pigment on the head causes the pigment cells in the inner ear to fail to develop properly, or they may not be there at all. The lack of pigment cells causes the death of nerve cells that need to develop for hearing to occur. Oddly, some white solid dogs, such as the Spitz or the Samoyeds, seem to have no problems with deafness. So then, what are some of the causes that cause dogs to go deafness over time? Well, there's a number of different things. You can have repeated loud noises, you know, such as these dogs that are used for hunting, being exposed to close ranges of gunshots. Untreated chronic ear infections that can damage the inner ear, the key parts that relate to hearing. Just aging, so normal aging, wear and tear within the bones of the inner ear themselves, they can become calcified. That these sort of fine little bones sort of float within this inner canal, this vestibular system, and they can ultimately fuse together. So you're no longer able to hear properly. And then you have certain drugs, you know, drugs that are called autotoxic, where they can actually damage the primary nerve that is controlling hearing. Some of those drugs, there's one called gentamicin or gentamicin, and that can actually be given in some cases. Some people actually have that within an ear medication itself. There's one called Automax, which is a commonly used ear medication. But if you're actually putting it into your dog's in their ear and they've got a damaged eardrum, that can actually damage the ear nerve itself, being called autotoxic. So how can you tell if your dog is deaf? First, if you suspect that your dog might be deaf, just try this test. Wait until your dog is asleep or not looking at you. Make a loud noise behind him. So it says Holly Newstead, who co-founded the Deaf Dog Education Action Fund in the mid-1990s with her husband, John. After they acquired a deaf Dalmatian puppy, make sure that they can't see your movement or feel any vibrations, like stomping on the floor, Newstead says. And try different ranges of sound. Blow a whistle for high range, clap your hands loudly for mid range, and do something like hitting a drum for low range. Many, mostly deaf dogs still have some limited hearing. So with my experience with my own dog, Lewis, is he can hear that loud clap, he can still hear that. But sort of my general voice or the range that we speak at, he can hear that. A loud yell, he can't hear that. But he also can feel a vibration. So my initial communication with him is I'll sort of bang on the wall or the floor, and he can feel that. I'll bang on the side of the wall, he can still hear it. The next other thing is I'll go up and touch him to have him sort of acknowledge me and have when I'm actually trying to direct him to do something. So if your dog and they suddenly seems to be ignoring you, they don't come running when food is poured into their bowl, they're usually very responsive to their name, you really want to test their hearing. So you can use some of those basic tests that were just described. But if you want to have sort of conclusive evidence, there's a test called the Bayer test or brainstorm auditory evoked response procedure, which can be done in a referral practice. So let's get right into the big heart of the podcast is training your deaf dog. Can they be trained? No question. I mean, it does require a big commitment on your part, lots of patience. You can use something such as the American Sign Language Pocketbook. It's a good suggestion. Many people advise that, especially if you're training a deaf dog. But they're going to learn your signs, your facial expressions instead of words. And that's what my dog Lewis has got. He's really looking at my face. What am I saying? Am I happy? Am I sad? Am I praising him or not? Like, he's still very content. But when you understand some of these basic words, I want you to start simple, you know, such as hand signals, such as sit, down, stay, come, no, stop. So teach those with basic hand signals, either the ones from the American Sign Language pocketbook or ones that you invent yourselves. And then start out with newer ones, you know, such as car, walk, etc. You want to keep your dog in a leash when walking, you know, at least a fence yard. You want to keep them safe, especially while they're learning these basic sign languages. So they can't pick up on the hearing. They can't hear if a car is coming. It's a good idea to buy a dog tag stating your dog's name, saying Lewis is deaf, for instance. Please hold and call with your name and phone number. You can put a bell on your dog, a really good idea. You want it to be that allows that someone can hear your dog when he or she is on the move. To get your dog's attention, what I do is I'll thump on the side of the wall, or you can thump on the floor. Another suggestion is using a flashlight or a laser light. So they're going to see that light moving, and they're going to pay attention to that. It's a good idea to get your, if you've never had you've got a deaf puppy, getting them to basic obedience classes and just using simple obedience signs to start. So just those simple hand signals such as sit, come, stay. And then when your dog does the appropriate command, then you want to reward them positively with food. And these are the basic of all training again, where you're positive rewarding your dog acting appropriately so they get something they like. With Lewis, food works great. With other dogs, just simple praise where they're being petted, like, good dog, or they're going to respond. So him feeling you repeatedly petting him, he'll respond to that. When you're waking, a big point with these dogs that are deaf is they really startle easily because they can't hear you coming up to them. So when you're in the wake, them just always do it gently. You just want to touch them gently in the same place. The shoulder generally is best, or put your hands in front of the nose and let them smell you. You can smell your fingers to wake them up. Give them a treat or lots of love every time you wake them. Startling the deaf dog out of sleep is usually the touchiest area. The treat will make waking up less traumatic, and he's going to be much more eager instead of angry. Tell visitors not to touch your dog if he's sleeping, especially children. Food rewards are the best way we can reward the deaf puppies, and they cannot hear the tone of our voice. You can taper off the food rewards as your dog grows older and reward with lots of loving and enthusiasm. The sign for good job is clapping your hands. Some people use a thumbs up. Carrots are healthy treats. You look at other treats that your dog really likes. You know, my dog Lewis, he loves dehydrated freeze-dried liver. Some of the special considerations for owners of deaf dogs. Although the decision to adopt any dog is serious, a 10 to 15 year commitment, not everyone is up to the challenge of owning a deaf dog. First, you've got to learn a new language. You've got to communicate with sign language. Either, as I said earlier, signs you invent yourself for American Sign Language, not just verbally. To leash or not to leash, as a general rule of thumb, it's not a good idea to allow a deaf dog off leash in an unenclosed area. Some of these exceptions are these older dogs, such as my dog Lewis, who's familiar with a certain area. I can walk him up on a trail where he's away from cars, but anytime it involves a road, cars, etc., he's on a leash. He can't hear those cars coming. He can't hear what else is going on. So it's a good lot of common sense there. Desensitization exercises to reduce startling. These exercises are nothing more than training your dog how to handle and respond to various situations. They're no different than teaching a dog to sit. Your dog's personality will determine how much time you need to spend in these exercises. Some dogs are easygoing and fairly unflappable. Others are more sensitive and require more work. So something such as Lewis, he's fairly used to now. When I wake him up from sleeping, I just sort of put my hand on his side, kind of gently rub him, and then he lifts his head. But this sudden, jolt can really even startle him, and he's a fairly easygoing dog. So you want to desensitize a deaf dog to the startle effect of being touched unexpectedly. Begin by walking up behind the dog when he isn't looking. Gently touch the dog, then immediately pop a treat in his mouth when he turns around. The dog quickly associates good things, i.e. the treat, with being touched unexpectedly and learns to respond happily. Condition your deaf dog to wake up easily in response to a gentle touch. Start by first placing your hand in front of the sleeping dog's nose, allowing him to smell that you are near. Next, lightly touch the dog on the shoulder of the pack. Pretend you're trying to touch with only one or two fingers with your fingertips. Then gently stroke your dog with two fingertips and with your entire hand. Most dogs will awaken during some part of this exercise. When they open their eyes, the owner's smiling face, and perhaps even a treat rewards them. In a matter of weeks, your dog becomes accustomed to waking up when you're going to place a hand in front of his nose or lightly touch his shoulder or back. Waking up becomes a positive, gentle experience. As a deaf dog matures, he gains self-confidence and experience in a wide variety of situations. With many dogs, the likelihood of being startled generally decreases with age. Getting your deaf dog's attention when he's not looking at you. So if he's facing away from you, one of the simplest things to do is wait until he turns around. Indoors, if you walk up behind your dog, you may not feel the vibrations on your approach and turn around. He may feel them. If not, you can try blowing on the back of his head or his back. Just touch him lightly. If he's across the room, just try stomping your foot on the floor. And that's what I do. He feels those vibrations. Outdoors during daytime, sometimes you can just try tossing a small stone or a ball near him just to get his attention. Obviously, being careful not to hit him. Outdoors at night, you can attract your dog's attention by flipping a porch or a garage light on and off and on, or just using a flashlight or laser pointer. One other option, which I've yet to hear about, is called a vibrating collar. There are several vibrating collars currently being made, and hopefully more is to come. Keeping your deaf dog informed of your whereabouts as you move around your house or when you leave, be sure to let your deaf dog know what you're doing. If he wakes up, turns around, and finds you're gone, he can become anxious. And we'll see that many deaf dogs will then search from room to room until they find their missing owner. Because he can't hear, where are you? If he's not looking in your direction as you leave a room, just get his attention and allow him to watch you as you leave. He may or may not decide to join you, but at least he's going to know that you've gone away. When supervising and correcting a deaf dog, you're not going to have the luxury of yelling commands across a room. If he's digging in the trash, you have to go up there and deal with it. Granted, some occasions you may be able to get his attention and sign a command, but there's going to be just as many times when you have no choice but to get up and go to your dog. But ultimately, is it worth it? No question. Was I concerned at first about my dog Lewis, you know, not having the same quality of life? Yes, I was. But I feel he's pretty happy. He is. And I think he's actually getting more touch because of it. I mean, I've got to interact with him, make sure he can understand what I'm trying to communicate. So if you're considering a deaf dog or you have a deaf dog, take heart. You can have just a great quality connection with your dog. Yes, it may mean more work if you're going to be adopting a deaf dog or have a deaf puppy, but I think you can have just as much quality of life as having a normal hearing dog. Dog vestibular disease. What to do if you're pet has a head tilt. If your older dog has a sudden loss of balance, he may have a condition called vestibular disease. In this section, I'm going to go over the most common signs of dog vestibular disease and likely causes. Then I'm going to cover the top five remedies that you can do at home to heal your dog's vestibular disease. The signs of vestibular disease all relate to a loss of balance, stumbling and staggering, a head tilt to one side, an involuntary flickering of the eyes from side to side, circling, falling to one side, possibly droopy eyelids. In people, you can liken this to vertigo. You may lose your balance with a serious ear infection or a head cold. The vestibular area of your pet is what controls balance. It allows your pet to walk without falling, sending the signals to allow your pet's limbs and eyes to move correctly. The causes vary. It can be idiopathic, which means there's no known cause, only inflammation of the vestibular apparatus. It can be caused by a tumor, an inner ear infection, or an emboli or blood clot. Idiopathic or geriatric vestibular disease is the most common cause. If you have an older dog or cat which gets a sudden onset of vestibular signs, then your pet most likely has idiopathic vestibular disease. This condition generally will improve in 3 days and likely fully resolve in 7 to 14 days. While the inflammation resolves, ensure that your pet is eating and drinking. It's a good idea to have a veterinary exam. Your vet can rule out an ear infection and discuss additional diagnostics. Many pets with the vestibular disease lose their appetite and they can stop drinking. While the disease resolves, you need to support your dog, ensuring that they keep eating and stay hydrated. For water, you can use a needleless syringe or a turkey baster. Insert the tip into the center of your pet's mouth, tilt his head back, and hold his mouth closed and squirt in the fluid. If your dog is not eating, you can stimulate his appetite by warming his food or force-feeding a high-calorie liquid nutrition, such as Hill's Prescription AD or Eukanuba Maximum Calorie. There's a homeopathic remedy called Rustox, which may be helpful in this condition. It's useful in geriatric conditions such as skin rashes, arthritis, and vertigo. The dose is 130 cc capsule per every 10 to 20 pounds of body weight every 8 hours. Herbs are often used with brain disorders, and the most important one in vestibular disease is called ginkgo. It's used for a variety of brain disorders that may be beneficial here. It increases blood flow to the brain, so may help in vestibular disease. The ginkgo dose is 25 milligrams per 20 pounds twice daily. There's a lesser-known supplement called Vertigo Heal, which can be used. It's been useful for older people with vestibular signs. It can also be helpful on evidence in humans. A typical dog dose is 10 milligrams twice daily. Now you should have a good understanding of vestibular disease in dogs, and more importantly, that it's usually a disease that resolves on its own. So don't do anything sudden or rash, and give your dog time to heal himself. Consider supportive care along with some of the holistic remedies, such as rest talks and ginkgo. Now I'm going to get into the last section of today's podcast. Why I want you to protect grizzly bears by banning the trophy hunt in BC. Over 10,000 grizzly bears have been killed by trophy hunters between 1976 and 2012. It's currently estimated that the grizzly bear population in British Columbia, which has got the single highest, the biggest population of grizzly bears in the world, is estimated somewhere between 6,000 to 15,000 bears. More than one-third of grizzly bears killed by trophy hunters are female. In the spring hunt, female bears may be shot due to mistaken identity, leaving their tiny 2 to 5 month old cubs to perish. A report by the Center for Responsible Tourism, CREST, in collaboration with Stanford University, highlighted that bear viewing produces far more jobs and revenue than the grizzly bear trophy hunt, which in itself costs more for the government to manage than it generates back in revenue. There is simply no scientific, economic, or ethical rationale for the trophy hunt. So I really encourage you to sign the petition. It's at change.org/protect grizzly bears by banning the trophy hunt in BC. So you can just Google that petition, you know, Bears Matter petition, or protect grizzly bears by banning the trophy hunt in BC. And I'll have a link on this podcast after. Post it up on the blog. So once again, thanks for listening to today's podcast. I really appreciate any type of feedback. If you have any questions, feel free to post them on the blog at veterinarysecrets.com/blog, or send me an email. That's at podcast@veterinarysecrets.com. And once again, too, I really encourage you to subscribe to my podcast. And if you do, also leave a review. You can do so on iTunes or Stitcher. So thanks once again, and I look forward to talking to you again next week. This is Dr. Andrew Jones. We'll